The Minus Five are here today talking with the Cafe's Michaela Majune. Seattleite Scott McCoy formed the band in the early 90s as sort of a fun offshoot of his band, the Young Fresh Fellows. Lineup is pretty open on the new album just called The Minus Five, but referred to as the Gun Album for its cover image. Guests include Peter Buck from REM, Jeff Tweedy, Colin Malloy from The Decemberists, John Wesley Harding, and others. Scott often plays with Peter Buck as a part of the REM touring band, and Peter Buck is here today for our session. Michaela started off by asking Scott McCoy about that gun on the cover of the new album.
We have way, way too many. I'd like there to be none, personally. I really would. But even if there were none, it would still be kind of humorous to put a gun on your album cover, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I just thought it was kind of funny at the time, and I thought it fit the mood of the record, which is somewhat of a downer, maybe, you know?
Well, it's kind of a continuing joke because it is so down. Guns, ropes, cigarettes, coffee, and booze. And yet the music is so wonderfully upbeat.
I'm not really sure that people notice how down the lyrics really are and how depressing they really
because
are.
Because it sounds really poppy and melodic. You know, it's a pretty melodic record for, you know, for me, I think.
It's wonderfully melodic. Yeah. And so you're making a point there. You making a point that people aren't noticing how depressing life is because we have all these melodic, upbeat distractions?
No, I mean, I'm just writing songs in the kind of format that I know, you know, which is rock and roll and pop, you know, pop songs and country songs. I mean, that's just, I don't really know how to write any other kind of songs, you know.
You don't need to.
Musically, I'm talking about. I mean, and lyrically, you know, I mean, yeah, that's covering enough ground right there, I think. And, you know, so the lyrics sometimes are going to be sort of a weird juxtaposition, you know? I mean,
but relentlessly so on this record.
Yeah, I guess
if
so.
If I may say that.
I guess so.
Well,
you know, as someone who didn't write the lyrics, when I started hearing the songs, I was going, you know, there's a gun in every song. And I know Scott doesn't have a gun. I don't have a gun. And it's not about like Johnny Cash, you know, don't take your guns to town or, you know, I shot a man in Reno to watch him die. It's you know, that's maybe, for me, it just felt like, well, that's where life is, maybe from Scott's eyes, and, you know, that's hanging over us, you know, that kind of relentless torrent of violence and stuff. Yeah. And, it's, you know, it's in our lives in a real way.
Yeah, it's funny that I put myself in this position to have to explain this all the time, because I'm, like, the most fiercely, like, anti-gun, you know, person. I mean, I just think they should all be taken from people and melted down. I don't care about your whatever your rights to bear arms are. I don't think people should have the rights to bear arms. They're too stupid, you know. It's just, you know, so, but here I am with a gun on my record cover. So,
and in an ironic twist of fate, the National Rifle Association has endorsed your album.
Oh, yeah. Now that would be really terrifying.
Well, there's a lot of them. If they all buy it, you know, that's fine with me. But.
Well, we've been thinking, you know, everybody's been saying, you know, you should make a t-shirt of that album cover. People would buy them. And just because of the gun, I guess. I don't know. You know,
yes. Help spread the thing that you're against.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we should go right to the heart of the matter. And we're going to start out with a gun. And you're going to play for us. We're going to tune into your sound check on the stage of World Cafe Live. You want to introduce the song?
It's probably, I think it was the first song recorded for this record. It was done in Chicago with Wilco and Peter and I. And it's really upbeat and poppy, I guess. I don't know what else to say about it.
Well, let's
it's
hear
a,
it.
You know, I people sometimes look at me strange when I sing the line, I'm going to kick your sister's ass. I mean, that's just, but you know, that's just the way I was feeling at the time.
He's a pacifist, folks, so we can listen to this song. Let's listen to The Minus Five on stage with a gun.
Sleep.
The Minus Five are here to play for us today on the World Cafe, and we're talking with Scott McCoy, who wrote all the songs on the new album, and usually does.
Pretty much, has a few little co-writes, but yeah.
And Peter Buck, who you've collaborated pretty closely on previous albums with Scott.
I think we've made 7 records together now, aside from the R.E.M. stuff.
You've collaborated for so long in R.E.M. and the Minus Five. What's your collaboration like at this point? Do you have musical telepathy with each other? You must know each other so well.
We know each other really well, and especially in the studio, I like to not ever have heard the song before we play it. So I just have Scott write me a chord chart and count it off. And occasionally we get a first take. I think Rifle Called Goodbye is either the first or the second time we ever played it. And, you know, I listened back to it and I was like, what am I doing? I have, you know, I had no idea what the chords were. I just looked at this chart and I was going, well, I go from here to there. I guess I can walk up that way.
Yeah.
And the next time I do it a different way. And but
and we just sort of arranged it on the spot too, because I'd never really sat and sung it and played piano at the same time. I think I'd played it a couple times at a show, solo shows on guitar, but we came up with a lot of the little bits, the connecting bits in it, just sort of on the spot there. You know, it wasn't perfectly arranged song when I brought it in and showed it to Bill and Peter.
I think we recorded 7 songs in like a day and a half. You know, and it's I like to work that way. I like to work really fast, and so does Scott. And when we work in a big studio, it's maybe a little bit more professional. But when we work in each other's attics and basements, it's totally... Everything Scott's ever recorded on my stuff, I'm just standing over his shoulder yelling the key changes out. And he's playing keyboards, and I keep the mistakes. So yeah. I love the mistakes.
So. We do a lot of that.
Yeah. You don't think of them as clams?
No.
Or
no, you know, it's...
A lot of that stuff ends up on REM records.
Yeah, because I do a lot of home demos that we end up using on the REM records, and a lot of it's me and Scott playing all the instruments.
You are both, as far as I can tell, really tireless and versatile folks. What else goes into your lives besides music?
Well, you know, I mean, it's the important stuff. You know, for me, children, my children.
How old are your kids now?
12. Yeah. Or they'll be 12 in, like, you know, a couple of weeks.
They're twins, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so I do a lot of that. You know, I live in my head a lot. I walk a lot by myself, and I listen to a lot of music, and I read books, and I play guitar every day. And I tried over the last... probably 10 years, I worked really hard to get better as a musician and more versatile. I mean, I've become a pretty good bass player, you know, and I branched out and play a lot of different instruments, and I played a lot of different music, you know. I actually, now I think I've played every type of Western music as I was in Paris recently, played noise guitar at a classical recital with a string octet and two woodwind players. So now I've done it. All Western music is finished. I've done jazz, blues, folk, bluegrass, country, rock and roll, punk rock, classical. I haven't done any opera yet, but I really don't think I'm qualified.
Well, it's time to learn the sitar.
I've played sitar on record. I can't say I play it well.
What about you, Scott?
Well, I do... Music takes up so much of my time. I'm a little bit limited. I'm not really a Renaissance man. I like to watch movies. But I can never keep up with them because I don't have enough time. And I like Peter, I walk all the time. I just walk miles, you know, every day pretty much.
To keep fit, to clear your head, all of the above?
Yes, kind of.
It clears your head. It's really great, you know, for meditation. And, you know, it's one of the things that differentiates us from the animals. I mean, we go places for pointless reasons, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean... Bruce Chatwin wrote a book about Australia, the song lines, you know, and his theory is that, yeah, that's one of the things that made us different from the animals is that, you know, we get in our mind to go someplace, and we go there for no other reason than, hey, it's interesting to see what it is. So that's when we're on tour, whether it's a -5 or especially with REM where we have a little bit more time off, we're always like, well, we'll meet people for dinner and we'll go, well, it's only 4 miles. Why don't we just walk there? We did that last night.
Yeah. And people are always like, you walked here?
You walked? That's 70 blocks. Well, yeah. You know how long 70 blocks is? It's like 2.5 miles. Manhattan's only 8 miles long.
And look what you get to see in Manhattan when you're walking those 70 blocks. It's awesome. I just think walking, you get to see stuff and it's so much more exciting than standing on a treadmill, you know? I don't get the attraction of that.
Let's get back into some performance. My Life is a Creep. Where did that come from?
Oh, you know, probably some day when I felt like beating myself up a little more or something. I don't know. I thought, you know, that sounds like a good name for a movie or something, you know, My Life as a Creep. And so the song is about the fact that there is no film treatment for My Life as a Creep. But, you know, I'm opening the door for somebody to go with it.
All right. Well, let's hear My Life as a Creep from the -5.
Ask me for a moment to reflect, and I will tell you how it was when you went down. Show me where the lines can reconnect, and I will parallelogram you to the ground.
Sound like falling down in the mind. We're here with Scott McCoy and Peter Buck getting performances from the Minus Five on stage at World Cafe Live. And we're also here in the World Cafe Performance Studio at WXPN in Philadelphia. Where did you grow up, Peter?
All over. I was born in California and moved around a lot, but we moved to Georgia in 1970 or 71, I think. So then I spent the next 20 years there. So if anyone asks me, I always tell them I'm from the South. Those are all my formative years where I learned everything.
And that's where you met Michael and Mike.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I still have a lot of roots. Their family there, you know. But, you know, it's my, as far as I can tell in the history of my family, no one has ever grown up in the same town that their parents were born in. I mean, we all just moved somewhere else. And you know, my kids now live in Seattle and grew up in Seattle and know nothing about the South. I mean, I think they've been there when they were 3 years old. And, you know, they'll probably settle in Anchorage, you know, and their kids will be, you know, on some spaceship somewhere. We're just kind of a rootless group of people, my family. And the good thing is, I don't live in a house with wheels under it, which a lot of my family does. So I've managed to avoid that trap.
But you compensate for that by going out on tour all the time.
Yeah, by getting a bus for a year.
I can't sleep in the motel rooms, so I sleep in the van every day. I just get in the van and pass out with my Mexican blanket and my pillow.
Why can't you sleep in the hotel rooms?
I'm having back issues, and the beds are just so horrible that I haven't turned a TV on in 2 years, and I've watched probably 100 hours of TV in the last 2 weeks. So you wake at 3 a.m, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, I guess you're not staying at the Four Seasons on this tour.
You know, yeah, sure, I could probably fly to every show and stay at the Four Seasons, but, you know, then I'm not really hanging out with the guys. I don't think any of us could do it like we're doing for a year, you know. I mean, we're an age where it gets really hard, but
your back would be totally out by then.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I forgot to ask is, how did you two meet?
So 1984, I think, and we were playing the Paramount, and you and Chuck showed up.
That's right. I think it was the Music Hall.
The Music Hall. Oh, was it that
anymore,
one? Yeah,
guess,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where?
Oh, no, but I know it. Seattle. It might have been at the Paramount, actually.
Yeah, because he brought the first Fellows record, and, you know, I get hundreds and hundreds of records, and in those days I was probably more patient, and I had a pile like a foot deep of stuff I need to listen to when I got home. And, you know, you play three songs, put it in a pile, and the Fellows record was just really great. It was like, God, this guy's cool. So I looked him up next time we were in Seattle, and we started kind of hanging around, and whenever they'd come to Georgia, they'd stay at my place, and there was some, you know, wild swinging parties, you know, playing records and drinking beer till 7 a.m.
Presumably, you'd been into REM's music long before you met Peter.
Yeah, I was working at a record store, so, you know, of course, I heard Chronic Town when it came on. One of the guys who I worked with at the record store was really into it, and he sort of turned me on to it. A guy named Marty Perez, he's a good photographer. He's taken a lot of the Fellows' photos and stuff. But he turned me on to REM and the Replacements both, so I got to give him credit for that.
And you worked in a record store?
Yeah, people like me and Scott.
And that's how you met Michael?
Yeah, people like me and Scott kind of work in record stores. And and Michael came in. It was a used record store, Wook Street in Athens, and it was kind of a cool little place. And, you know, it was like a small town, so people would check in at the store. And since I was the new guy in town, it would be, you know, I met everyone in this, like, incestuous 150-person scene within a week. It was kind of like, oh, yeah, there's a party at this loft, and this band called The Method Actors is playing, you know. And, you know, I saw the B-52s really early on, you know. And it was kind of cool because people would come in every day and go, well, you know, there's nothing to do in Athens. Now there is. But in those days, there was nothing. There weren't any bars. I mean, it was there literally wasn't a place you could drink.
Picture.
It was the town was a ghost town. I mean, in the summertime, you could lie down in the street for 20 minutes and a car wouldn't go by. So, you know, people would come in the record store and they'd be like, hey, you know, we're going to so-and-so's house tonight and he's got a keg of beer and, you know, someone's going to be playing in the backyard. And you'd do that until the cops came. And then you'd go, you know, get 20 people to go naked swimming out at, you know, the one or two of the places where you think you could go without getting arrested by the cops. And the cops would always show up. And that was their favorite point of the evening, get to see all the naked new waivers, you know.
Is that where the song Night Swimming
came
from?
Actually, it is, I think, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, those kind of idyllic times. I mean, you know, all these really good friends, we all lived really close together. Everyone hated us. I mean, you couldn't walk by the fraternity houses without them, like, you know, shaking their fists or spitting on you or in some cases hitting you. And, you know, and then 2 years later, they're, you know, worshiping us and, you know, following us around and, you know, all their girlfriends were in love with us. So, you know, you get your revenge however you can get it.
Just desserts. We're going to hear another song in Soundcheck from the new album called The Gun Album by the members of the Minus Five and maybe some other people too, but otherwise known as the Minus Five. And it's the lyrics are kind of funny, I think. I had 6 white Russians tonight and 2 of them were people.
I got that opening bit from a guy in Athens called Bob Spires, who's in a band called Nutria and used to be in a band called The Possibilities. And he wrote me a really drunken email one night, and he said something about having a bunch of white Russians. I don't think he said the thing about 2 of them were people. And the only other thing that I grabbed from it was he said something. He started writing this dumb poem, and one of the lines said something about being out on the maroon. And I was like, I don't know what that means, but I like it. And so I just grabbed that, and I wrote this song about sort of about not being there for my daughter. It's actually is what the song kind of about.
Wow.
Yeah. So it is funny, but it's also a little tragic. but I mean, it's upbeat. I was also trying to encourage her in a way too. I mean, you know, despite my lack of, you know, being there for her or whatever.
Is she an only child?
Yes.
And how old is she now?
17. Yeah.
She's out there fending. Out there in the room herself. Yeah,
and she's had a really hard time socially and just getting friends and stuff. So the song's kind of about that. It's kind of bittersweet, I would say.
We're going to hear it.
All right.
I had 6 white Russians tonight, and 2 of them were people. Thank you.
out there on the Maroon, finishing up our session with the Minus Five. It's been so great to talk with you guys and hear what you're up to these days. And what's going on with REM? Are you going to be touring?
I had dinner with Michael two times in the last week, and we had a great tour. The tour, pretty much everyone who saw us said that they thought it was the best we've ever played. I mean, the new lineup with Bill Rieflin playing drums, really, we all felt really empowered and picked up. I've written a bunch of stuff. It's really kind of up to Michael and Mike to, you know, kind of get their input in. I have some ideas. We are going to play with our original drummer, Bill Berry, in like September at, we got voted into the Georgia Music Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which, yes. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, we'd be in there with the B-52s and the Allman Brothers and Otis Redding and Little Richard, you know, I mean, people that, you know, are, you know, legendary and great and people that influenced us all. So, you know, it just seems natural for Bill to come down. And I think we've convinced him to do it. I mean, he did play with us at that bowling alley not too long ago. We had a wedding for DeWitt Burton and his wife Jackie. Well, they got married. And I just kind of convinced Bill called us up on our 25th anniversary. We were in Australia. And he sent us these little silver nuggets, you know, that were kind of cool with REM and our names inscribed on it. And he was like, happy 25th, you know. And I was like, hey, Bill, you going to go to DeWitt's wedding? He goes, yeah, yeah. I said, well, why don't we get REM to play? And he goes, I said, oh, come on, Bill. Don't chicken out. It'll really mean a lot to him. And he goes, well, okay. I get there, and I see him in the corner. I just kind of basically stood in front of him so he couldn't leave. And he kept looking at his watch. It's getting kind of late.
He said to me at one point, if they don't get up there right now, I got to go. I got to go.
It was like 6 o'clock. I mean, it's like, come on, Bill. So finally, we basically had to kick the other band off stage. It was like, come on, let's just do it. And we played like 7 or 8 songs.
It was pretty cool. It was fun.
Oh, great. And so you'll be going out, of course, with REM?
When it happens. I mean, yeah. It's really kind of, you know, I think we finished the tour like last July. And, you know, I think everybody wanted to take a good long bit of time off. And that's kind of why, you know, we've had the opportunity to do a little Minus Five touring and all that.
Well, thanks for the new album and for the performance for hanging out today. And please come back.
All right. We will. Thank you.
And we'll be right back on the World Cafe.